Luke chapter 1. Is anybody else tired tonight? I'm tired. That's worse than tired. Tired is worse than tired. I'm a country boy, so I get tired. Mama used to make fun of how I said some things. She thought she was a little more sophisticated, I guess. But I used to say frog, and city people, they say frog. But I'd say frog and dog and hog and log instead of frog and hog and log and dog. when you're young, you say things a certain way. And it's followed me all my life. That's the reason. It's the reason I talk like I do. I believe somebody said about D.L. Moody, said he murdered the King's English. I guess I murder it too. But anyway, the Lord can use us all the way we are, can't he? We shouldn't try to be foolish or too ignorant. Or we shouldn't. Somebody said if you don't open your mouth much, people won't know how dumb you are. Sometimes we open our mouth too much and people find out. But I believe we should do the best we can with what we've got. And in my later years, I have even tried to pronounce some words different. And I still use ain't. And I guess I'll never get over using that. But I try to say some things a little different than I did when I was young. And because you should learn as you get older and learn how to do things better and more correctly, do them righter. You'll hear me use some incorrect English sometimes. You might hear me use some double negatives. You, Sister Paul saying people, school teachers, they catch things like that when you do them. But the Lord uses us all the way we are, don't he? He uses us all. But the Holy Spirit, he can fill you even if you don't use English correctly as you should. He can feel you and use you. He might use me the way I am to reach somebody that you couldn't reach. But because of our personalities, sometimes they don't all jive together. Especially lost people. Lost people, they might see something in a certain person they don't like. But somebody else that has a personality that they jive with can talk to them. So the Lord uses us all, doesn't he? All those New Testament writers, they were different. Some of them were more sophisticated, and some of them was countrified. I don't know if there was countrified Jews in those days, countrified, but some of them were less knowledgeable than others were. And it says that they were amazed that the disciples spoke like they did because they were ignorant and unlearned men. They were amazed. When the Holy Spirit, when He fills a man, He uses him. And if we become knowledgeable of the Word of God, even though we may be ignorant and unlearned about English and history and science, we may be ignorant and unlearned about a lot of things. But if the Lord fills you with His wisdom and knowledge, then He can use you. And there will be people amazed that you know as much as you do about God's Word. That's sermon number one. Okay, if you will, turn with me to the book of Luke. We'll start Luke chapter 1, verse 5. We're going to look at one of the New Testament figures tonight. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not be able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Okay, I'll stop reading right there. We're going to look and think and talk about John the Baptist just a few minutes tonight, if you'll pray. And I guess verse 15 is probably is the verse we're starting from. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. We're going to look at this now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go further. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege you've given us to be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we're here with your people. Lord, it's a joy and privilege, Lord, to be able to gather together with your people, Lord, and hear them talk about you, talk about how good you are, Lord. Lord, your people know how good you are. Hear them talk about how good you are and what you've done in their lives, Lord. Hear them give prayer requests, Lord, because we know that you answer, you hear and you answer. And Lord, it's good to be here tonight. And we ask you tonight, Lord, to help us as we get into your word. I pray, Father, that you'd enlighten us. Lord, we need to hear a fresh word from heaven tonight, Lord. We need to hear from you. We can't do without it. We need it every day. We need to hear from you tonight, Lord, from your word. And through your Holy Spirit, talk to us tonight, Lord, I pray, from your divinely inspired word. Help us to look at John the Baptist, and help us, Lord, when we see John the Baptist, help us to see a man that was used of God. And help us, Lord, to see how that you desire to use all your people. Help us to see, Lord, some of the reasons you used him. Lord, help us to see his parents. Help us to see him. Help us to see his preparation. And God, use him tonight to instruct us, Lord, I pray, through your word. Have your way tonight. Now get all glory and honor and praise for yourself out of everything that's done. We thank you and we praise you again because you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, as we start looking at this tonight, I want you to notice, of course, this is the instance of the angel speaking to Zechariah here. And I want you to notice it says that in verse 6, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And one reason that John the Baptist was like he was because of his parents. That's one of the reasons that John the Baptist was great, was because of his parents. He had good parents. The Bible said here that they were walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. So they were right living people. They lived right. They walked right. One of the reasons John the Baptist was great as he was because of his parents. Because of his parents. You know, we've heard that here many times in this church, and I thank the Lord for that. I've been around some churches before that you don't hear things like that very much. I guess because it's too convicting is one reason that you don't hear it too much in some churches. But one reason, if you want to have good children, you've got to have good parents. Unless the Lord divinely intervenes in mercy and grace, sometimes He reaches some children that weren't raised right. In His mercy and grace, well, He does that. But children have a lot better chance if their parents raise them right. And if they teach them right. And Zechariah and Elizabeth were good, godly people that loved the Lord themselves. And so John the Baptist had a good start. A good start in life. They weren't rich people, but they were godly people. So John the Baptist had a real good start. And it says, they walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. She couldn't have children. She was barren. She'd never had a child. Couldn't have children. So they hadn't had a child. And while he was executing the priest's office, he was in the temple beside the, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And while he was standing there, Gabriel appeared to him. Now that would be a frightening sight if an angel appeared to you. I've never seen an angel before. Even though my name's Michael, I've never seen an angel before. I'm sort of proud of my name. It means who is like the Lord, or who is as great as the Lord. That's what Michael means. My middle name's David, and that means blood. So I've got two pretty good names. I like both of them. Some people don't like their names. I like my name's pretty good. I like them. But anyway, he appeared to him, and Zechariah was scared. He said he saw him, and he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. He said, but the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. I heard your prayer. I've heard you and your wife's prayers. I know you want a child. I've heard your prayers, and your prayer's going to be answered." He couldn't have answered his prayer if he hadn't ever prayed it. The Lord can't answer our prayers if we don't pray them. If we don't pray the prayers that we need to pray, God can't answer them. And it, not just for children, but after children. After they're born, we're raising them. God's not going to answer them if we don't pray them. We need to pray for our children. John the Baptist was great because of his parents. One reason was because of his parents. He was prepared by his parents. And of course, we know that it was in God's plan. And I don't pretend to know everything. I'm not able to reconcile God's knowledge with His doings, because my brain's not big enough. I'm just a little finite being, and God's infinite, and I don't understand Him. I really don't. I never will in this life, because He's too great and I'm too small. How can somebody that just barely knows how to make cat head biscuits understand somebody that made the whole world and the whole universe? I mean, there's no way the two just aren't close to each other at all. There's a whole lot of people a lot smarter than I am. There's rocket scientists and people that know a whole lot more than I do. But in comparison, mine, that rocket scientist's knowledge are a whole lot similar when we're both compared to God. There's just almost totally no difference in me and the rocket scientist when we're both compared to God. He's that great, and His understanding is infinite, and His knowledge is infinite, and mine isn't. Mine's finite right now. One day I'll be a lot smarter than I am, but He's infinite, and I'm not. And we're not very smart people. But His parents, and they appeared to him, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." There are not too many men that's been like that. Because we go on and read, we find out that when Mary and Elizabeth talked with each other, and Mary told her the story of Jesus going to be born, we know that John the Baptist leapt in Elizabeth's womb. John the Baptist had a Holy Ghost spell before he's ever born. I mean, he did. Lord was getting him ready. Lord had him with the parents that was going to get him ready. And the Lord was getting him ready, and John the Baptist had a spell before he was ever born. So you see, that proves it's all right to have spells. Because John the Baptist didn't even have any external influence yet, and he had a spell. You can't blame, bring it, you couldn't have blamed it on his upbringing or blame it on somebody else, his raising, his circumstances or his environment. You couldn't blame it on him because he'd never been out yet. He was still in, and he had a spell, didn't he?
Amen.
He leapt with joy in his mother's womb. So I believe if he leapt with joy in his mother's womb, I believe it's all right to leap with joy. I really do. I believe it'd be quite all right. I'd never heard it put that way exactly like it before, but I believe it'd be quite all right to leap with joy since John the Baptist did it in his mother's womb. And that ought to be convicting to us. If a baby can do it in its mother's womb, well, we ought to be doing it more. We ought to be doing it a lot more. But John the Baptist was great. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And it says, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Here are the angels telling Zechariah what's going to happen in his life before he's ever born. He's going to turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to the children, disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. He was going to go, it said he would go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Of course, Elijah, we know Elijah did many miracles. And these people knew about Elijah. They had the Old Testament scripture about Elijah. They knew what Elijah did. They knew the power he had. They knew he walked with God, and they knew the power he had. And they said that John the Baptist will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, and before him met the Lord. And we know that Jesus, that John the Baptist, he prepared the way of the Lord. He was getting ready for a people for when Christ came. That's what his purpose was. That's what his purpose was. And John the Baptist knew what his purpose was. He knew what he was here for. To get a people ready for the Lord. And he was, the Bible tells it right here. The angel told Zechariah that he was going to turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord. Because of him, many people were going to turn to the Lord. And may I remind you, John the Baptist isn't the only one like that. That's what you and I are here for also. I believe I heard somebody say just a few days ago, I can't remember who, I believe it's somebody, maybe Brother Silas here a few days ago. He said if the Lord didn't have nothing to do through us or with us, when we got saved, He'd have took us on to heaven. He'd have took us on. If we wasn't here for a purpose, God would have took us on when He saved us. But He didn't take me on to heaven when He saved me. And He didn't take you on to heaven when He saved you because He's got something for you to do. He's got a purpose for you, a purpose for your life. Wherever you are, that's where God wants you. You're God's John the Baptist wherever you are. And you can be great in the sight of the Lord like John the Baptist was too. If you please Him, if you live your life to please Him, and to live for Him, to please Him, to walk with Him, to glorify Him, to tell the gospel wherever He's put you at, you will be great in His sight. You will. You'll be great in His sight. Every one of you, wherever you're at, you that work in factory, you're not a factory worker first. You're a Christian first. We're heavenly citizens. That's what we are. We're all John the Baptist that are headed home. Well, while we're here, we're John the Baptist who are here to prepare the way of the Lord, to make His path straight, to bring glory and honor to Him, to tell everybody about Jesus. That died for them, that they could be saved and have eternal life. That's what I'm still here for. I'd be gone if it wasn't for that. All of us, we that are saved, we'd be gone if it wasn't for the Lord leaving us here for that reason. We'd be out of here. And we're not out of here, so the Lord's got some things for me and you to do. He's got some things for us to do. And so he shall go before him the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. See, it said to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. See, the Lord reconciles families. You know that? He puts them together. He puts families together. I mean, I know families that aren't together. Aren't together. But I know what their only hope is. I know what their only hope is, and that's Jesus.
Amen.
If they'd come to know Jesus, it would put them together. I know children that aren't right with parents. And I even know some parents that aren't right with their children. And I know what, but I know what their hope is. And that is Jesus as their hope.
Amen.
If they both come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, He'll put them together. The hope of husbands and wives is the Lord, isn't it?
Amen. Right.
It's hard not to get along. It's hard not to get along if you've got the lover of the universe in your soul.
Right.
In your heart and your soul. I mean, it's hard not to get along. It's hard not to get along if you're praying people like Zachariah and Elizabeth was. It's hard not to get along. You know, it's real hard to pray for your wife and be mad at her much. Have you ever discovered that? I mean, you know you're supposed to pray for her. And you know you're supposed to pray for him. And isn't it awful hard to pray for him if you're mad at him? It's just pretty hard, isn't it? That's why we don't pray sometimes. Because we don't want to face the issue. It's hard to pray for your wife or your husband if you're mad at him. You get down, and I guarantee you, the longer you pray, if you pray long enough, the longer you pray, the less mad you're going to be. Because when you start praying, then the Holy Spirit starts working. You start praying, and you know you're supposed to pray for him. You know that. You know you're supposed to. You know you're supposed to pray for your husband, your wife. You know you're supposed to do that. And when you do that because you're supposed to do that, then you, if you start trying to do it and if you've got the right character, if you have the right character, you'll start trying to do it right. And when the more you try to do it right, the more your heart's going to get right, and the more you'll be able to do it right,
and the
less you'll be wrong. Maybe you got all that. I got a little bit of it. But you know, that's the reason. But we can't raise John the Baptist if we're not a Zachariah and Elizabeth, though. We can't raise John the Baptist. So we need to be Zachariah and Elizabeth so we can raise a John the Baptist who'll grow up to be great beside the Lord. That's why there's... I'm going to run rabbits if I ain't careful. Don't have to be careful. And Zachariah said to the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said to him, "I am Gabriel, and stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak to thee, and to show thee these glad tidings." Now I'm going to quit right there. I'm going to move over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to skip some of this. Matthew chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, "What went ye up into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there is not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.'" And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violence taketh it by force. For all the prophets and the laws prophesied until John. And this is two of John the Baptist's disciples came to Jesus when John was in prison. John, he did something that we all need to do. He told the truth. That's what got him in trouble. He told the truth. He told the king there that he shouldn't have his brother's wife. Apparently he had taken his brother's wife and took her for his own wife. And John the Baptist, telling the truth, said, "It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." So he got put in jail because of it. Got put in prison because of it. And we know the story. His wife, or his supposed wife, his brother's wife, her daughter did a dance that he liked, and he asked her, said, "Well, what would you like up to half of the kingdom?" And she talked to her mama, and of course her mama hated John the Baptist because of what he said, because he told the truth. And she told the daughter to ask for John the Baptist's head in a charger, in a basket. So that's what she did, and that's how John lost his head, because of some wicked people. But John told the truth. And that's what got him in trouble. But we should be willing to get in trouble sometime if we have to tell the truth. We should be willing. If it's going to get us in trouble, we should be willing to tell the truth, even if it is going to get us in trouble. Even if it's going to get us in trouble. John the Baptist got to go home. Got to go home because he told the truth. That's a good way to look at it. He got him one way home. What it did. And John the Baptist, he was great. He told the truth. He didn't mince words, I guess is the way we might say it. He didn't mince his words. He told the truth. And Jesus here, he gave a real high opinion of John the Baptist, didn't he? And of course, we know the angel that came straight from God said, "He shall be great in the sight of the Lord." I mean, who told the angel that? The Lord did. The Lord told the angel what to say. "He shall be great in the sight of the Lord." So he was great in God's sight. And John was in prison, and he sent word to Jesus. No doubt I believe John got to feeling sort of low there in prison. And even John didn't understand everything that was going on and everything that was going to happen. He didn't understand God's plan. Exactly. He knew this was the Christ, and I believe he got a little discouraged there in prison. And he sent his disciples and said, are you the Christ? Are you the one? Or should we look for another? Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And of course, after that, Jesus, he healed blind people, and healed lame people, and healed deaf people, and the dead was raised. And he said, "Go and show John again these things which you do hear and see." Go show John the things that you're hearing and seeing. And when his disciples departed, he asked those people there, he said, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind?" You say, what did he mean by that? He meant that John the Baptist wasn't somebody who every wind and every opinion moved him. Those things didn't move John. Everything that came through didn't move John. He didn't change. He didn't change. Every little idea and every little thing that came through didn't change him. He was the same. He was what he's supposed to be, and that's what he was. He didn't change. We shouldn't change for the fads and fashions of the world. We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't go by fads and fashions when they're contrary to God's Word. I shouldn't dress wrong because it's a fashion. I shouldn't look wrong. I shouldn't talk wrong even if it is popular. Even if some words and some cliches and things like that, if they're popular, I shouldn't say them just because they're popular. I shouldn't say them to try to be popular myself. Popularity isn't the most important thing. It's not. Young people, being popular isn't the most important thing. Be what you're supposed to be. Be nice. Be kind. Be considerate. Be loving. Be what God wants you to be. And you'll turn out a whole lot better. You will. It'll turn out better for you. When your friends try to get you to walk a wrong way, walk the right way anyway. Be a John the Baptist. Don't be shaken. Don't be a reed shaken with the wind. Don't go the way the world goes just because it's popular. Because it's popular. Don't laugh at dirty jokes when people tell them just to get along. Just to fit in. That's not a good way to fit in. Don't fit in. Be a leader. You lead the right way. It won't always be real popular, but you'll be doing the right thing. If you'll do the right thing, you'll be somebody that God can look down and say, He's great in my sight. She's great in my sight. You see her? You see her standing for me, even when it's not popular? She's not going by what the world says or does. She's not living the way the world lives. She's not talking the way the world talks. She's not dressing the way the world dresses. He's not like just like everybody else. He's different because He's mine. He's mine and He's different. Don't that sound a lot better? It should mean a whole lot to us if it's God saying it. If it's God saying it, that should mean everything to me. Being pleasing to my Heavenly Father should mean everything to me. Don't be a reed shaking in the wind. There's all kinds of winds blowing through this world. Oh man, they're just blowing all kinds of winds. All kinds of winds. But if you're established in God's Word and what He says, you can identify those wrong winds. You can identify those bad things that are trying to influence. You can identify that. If you're in God's Word, if you're in God's Word and walking in God's Spirit, you won't be fooled. You won't be fooled. Don't let the world fool you. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed. Don't fit into the world's mold, but let God transform you by renewing your mind daily. Let Him renew your mind daily. Let Him talk to you, give you discernment, give you more Bible knowledge and wisdom, understanding. So that's why John the Baptist was like he was. He wasn't a reed shaken in the wind. What went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? He came out of the wilderness wearing camel hair, didn't he? Camel hair, eating locusts and wild honey. Don't sound like a very good diet to me. But that's the way he was, though. He'd been out there in the wilderness. You see, that's another reason that John was like he was. It said, another scripture says he was out there in the wilderness until the day for him to come forth. See, that's where he lived, out there in the wilderness, until the day for him to come forth. See, he was out there in the wilderness getting prepared. God was getting him ready. He was 6 months older than Jesus was. 6 months old. And Elizabeth and Mary were cousins. And he was 6 months older than Jesus was. So he had a very short ministry, John the Baptist did. But when he came out of that wilderness, he was prepared. He was prepared. He was a student of the Scriptures. He knew the Scriptures. His heart was ready. And you know, the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. From the day he was born, he was filled with the Spirit. So he was prepared. John the Baptist was prepared. He had parents that had prepared him. He was had prepared out in the wilderness. Out in the wilderness. He wasn't dressing to please other people. He didn't even eat to please other people. But he wasn't dressed. He didn't do what he did to please other people. He had a ministry. He had a message. He had a purpose. That's what he had. John the Baptist. He knew who he was. I don't know exactly how God had told him all who he was. The Bible don't tell us that part. Now, Zachariah and Elizabeth, the angel told Zachariah some stuff, you know. And I'm sure Zachariah told John some stuff. And I'm sure Zachariah had told John many times about that visit from the angel. And then Elizabeth had told him too. I'm sure they had told him and talked to him. And I don't know how God had told John everything he was, but he knew who he was. And he knew what his purpose was. And he didn't change from that purpose. He wasn't a reed shaking in the wind. He kept to his message. He kept to his purpose. He kept to God's plan. And he had a very short ministry. But even though his ministry was very short, Jesus said there's none greater that's born of women than John the Baptist. He wasn't here very long, but he done exactly what he was supposed to do. Done exactly what he was supposed to do. And I don't know how long we'll be here. I don't know how long I'll be here. Lord willing, I'll be 55 in October. And that's not old. It's not old. That ain't very old. Old always keeps getting older, you know that. Always keeps getting older. I don't know how long I'll be here, but I've got a purpose. I've got a message. I've got a ministry until the Lord puts me here. When I go there to school, I've got a purpose. You see, like I said a while ago, I'm a Christian first, wherever I'm at and whatever I do. I'm a Christian. I'm a heavenly citizen. I'm a messenger of God. I'm here for God's purposes, God's plan. I'm supposed to walk like God wants me to walk. I'm supposed to dress like God wants me to dress. I'm supposed to talk like God wants me to talk. I'm supposed to talk about the things that God wants me to talk about. I've got a purpose while I'm here. And wherever you are, wherever the Lord's put you, that's what you are. You're a Christian first. You're God's child first. You've got a message. You've got a ministry. You've got a purpose. Where God has you at, that is your purpose. I'm the head custodian at Balvin School, and I believe I ought to be the best custodian I can be. And I believe that's part of me being a Christian. Part of me being a Christian is whatsoever I put my hand to do, I'm supposed to do it my best. That's part of being a Christian, part of being a child of God. God expects His children to be people who do things right and act right so that when we're His ambassadors, we're His representatives here on earth, so when they look at us, they'll see a representative of God. They can look at us and they'll say, well, that's what God's child's supposed to look like. I can see God in that person. The man that works there with me at school, he I believe he's a Christian man. He don't believe everything just like I do, but I believe he's a Christian man. And he told me the other day that there's this man told him a while back. He said, "I've been watching you for years, and you know there's people watching us. People watching us. There's people watching John the Baptist, and I'm sure he was something to watch." John the Baptist was something to watch. And we ought to be something to watch too. When people watch us, when they watch us, they ought to see the love of God. They should. They ought to see the love of God. They ought to see somebody that's so forgiving. When somebody does something to me, I ought to act like just like God did. And I don't always act that way. If you don't believe me, you can ask Barbara. I don't always act that way. we ought to be forgiving. When people around our workplace where we are, when they look at us, they look at me, and if they do something against me, they should see somebody that's real quick to forgive and love them. Ain't that the way God is? Ain't that the way He done us? He shouldn't have forgiven me. I mean, if he'd been just, if he'd have been only just and not merciful and gracious and loving, I'd have been a goner. If he'd been only just, because if he'd looked at me only with his justice, I'd have been gone. Because I deserved to be a goner. I deserved to be in hell. But not only has he got justice, but he's got mercy and grace and love. I'm glad he's that way. And that's the way I'm supposed to be too. When somebody does something against me, I'm supposed to be quick to forgive them and love them. I don't know, remember who that preacher was, but I read about a preacher a long time ago. They said, if you want him to do something good for you, just kick him. And if you kicked him, he'd go out of his way to do something good for you. But that's the way we ought to be. The way we ought to be. How many times did we kick at God's goodness and mercy and grace before He finally got us? How many times were we so wicked and so vile and against everything He stood for before He finally reached us? How many times? But yet He didn't give up on us, did He?
Amen.
He didn't give up on us. He kept on. He reached us. He came to where we was. He came to where we was. And us so vile and so wicked, came to where we was and said, Son, I died for you. I died for you. I paid the price. I died for you. You should have went to hell, but I died for you. If you'll receive me, I'll give you eternal life. And I didn't deserve that at all. And that's what I should do. When people see me out in public, they should see somebody that's ready to forgive. They should see somebody that's loving, that's kind. I'm going to tell this. And I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm using this for example, okay? Because the good Lord knows. The good Lord knows my faults. He knows what I am. The Lord knows what I am. But this man told me there a while back, and I'm not going to say who it was. But he said, you're a good PR man, Mike. And it bothered me a little bit when he said that. He said, you're a good PR man. And he was talking about that school or a workplace. He's talking about. You know, he was saying, I was a public relations man. I knew how to get on people's good side. That's what he was saying. And I told him, I said, well, I felt like I owed a little bit of an explanation that I ought to try to explain a little bit why I was like I was. So I told him, I said, I don't try to be that. I said, you see these, all these little kids in school here. I said, I remember when I was a kid in school. I said, I remember that. And I said, I was a shy boy. And I didn't talk much. And I can remember some teachers and some people because I didn't talk much. I got ignored a lot. And I got ignored by other children because I was so quiet. Because I was so quiet. And I said, you know what? I said, you know what I've determined? I said, I've determined that these kids here at school, and not just kids, but these kids here at school, I said, I've determined that I'm going to love every one of them. I said, there's not going to be one that ain't got enough money, that wears bad clothes, that might not be the prettiest. There's not going to be one that I don't show that I love them. When I meet them in the hall, and sometimes those that are a little more down and out, I take special care. I take special care to smile to that one and speak to them and make sure that they know that somebody cares. And I said, I'm not doing it to be a PR man. I said, I'm doing it because I care about them and I want them to know that somebody cares. And I said, that's the reason I try to be nice to every one of them, because I want them to know that somebody cares. And there is somebody that cares. And when they see me and you out there in the public workplace, in the workforce, they should know that somebody cares. And it ain't just me that's caring. It's who's inside of me that's caring. Because who is there that He don't love? Does He love the dirty ones? Does he love the nasty ones? Does He love the ones that are mean as black snakes? So mean that nobody can't hardly stand to be around? Does He love them? He loves them. So when I'm out there, I should see that. They should see that. And I believe we'll be great in the sight of the Lord if we're like that. If we're like that, I mean, we'll be great in the sight of the Lord. And the Bible says there that He said, "What man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in clean king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet." He said, "A prophet." He was a prophet. He said, "Yea, even more than a prophet." John the Baptist was. He was great in the sight of the Lord, more than a prophet. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there is not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Among them born of women, there's not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist could be rough. He told the truth. I mean, he called them vipers. He had a lot of names for those people. He told them they need to repent. Who warned you? Who's warned you about the judgment to come? Repent. He preached a hard message that they needed to hear. He told the truth. John the Baptist told the truth. And we need to be willing to tell the truth.
Right.
You know, I think that's something about we Christians nowadays. We compromise too much sometimes.
Amen.
I believe the easy life has made us easy Christians. And sometimes we want an easy life. We want an easy life, and so we compromise so it will be easy. And I'm sort of like that. I don't like conflict. I'm just that type of person. I don't like conflict. So it would be real easy for me to keep my mouth shut, to not have conflict. Sometimes we're not supposed to keep our mouth shut. We're supposed to tell the truth. And there's a whole lot to be conflicted with nowadays. And if there's a whole lot of truth to be told.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.